Hey, listeners, this is a special episode, a before and after, if you will. I spoke to Tom Schoens in December 2021 before his retirement. Please stay tuned after the December conversation for a June 2022 update conversation with Tom and how he's doing since retiring. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. I'm Jesse Tyler, your host. In this series, we have a series of discussions about a wide range of ownership experience and culture topics to bring more insight into the individual ownership experience. Part of my work at Hypertherm, a 53-year-old global manufacturing and technology company with almost 2,000 associates worldwide, part of my work is focusing on ownership culture and hearing the stories, the experiences from welcoming people on their first day, and our first topic is ownership, to through the career spans and to our pending retirees. So today we're going to hear ownership experience and perspective from my coworker and friend Tom Schoens, who is a senior quality engineer. So Tom, welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. Can you tell us a little bit more what a senior quality engineer does and how long you've been at Hypertherm? And then we'll dive into ownership.
Absolutely. Welcome. Thanks for the introduction, Jesse. I've been here at Hypertherm for 20 years, and as you mentioned, I currently hold the role of senior quality engineer. And here at Hypertherm, quality engineering function simply ensures that the systems, processes, and people that are used to make our products is delivering on the expectations that we had. So in other words, the parts are all conforming to our print specifications, and that will ultimately lead to customer satisfaction.
That's great. And other roles you held before?
Yeah, I've held a number of roles here. When I first came here, I took on a quality systems manager role, which had a broader implication where I had an opportunity to oversee the quality systems of many of our organizations. And then in addition to that, I held a operations leader role in our consumables division, as well as a parts service business leader. So I've had an opportunity to fill a number of roles.
That's
and
great.
See obviously many aspects of our organization.
That's great. And thank you for your 20 years of service to our shared company.
Thank you, Jesse.
So our focus today is really giving an opportunity for you to share a little bit of your, before you retire, soon after your 20 years. We'd love to hear about your individual experience from a culture, kind of daily experience, job quality side of ownership, but also your path to retirement. And, and if you're willing to share, you know, sort of your age and some of those considerations, we really want to bring voice to the different stages and career phases of employee ownership. And so we're excited to hear more about your pending retirement and some of those details. So to kind of kick us off, how do you describe your individual experience as an owner? So there's a lot of we in employee ownership, which is often the most common used word. We, share, and pride are some of the most common words across employee ownership culture. But we want to get to you. How do you describe your individual experience in ownership?
Yeah, what I have experienced here at Hypertherm are people who are committed to do whatever it takes for the success of the organization. And we're not just employees, but we're really team members, people who care about the business and each other. And so, you know, to go back to the thought of people committed to doing whatever it takes, we had several, many examples of that occurring in my 20 years here at Hypertherm. But the two that come to mind for me are just recently in 2020 and 2021 here, because some of our suppliers had difficulties because of their own manpower shortages in making components for us. We actually had arrangements with some of our key suppliers where we sent associates out to those suppliers and actually worked on building components for our business so that we could keep our manufacturing lines running. And the other one that comes to mind is back in 2008, during the global financial crisis, we had associates who were redeployed throughout the organization. That was a time, but it was just the opposite, where we had very limited customer demand for our products. And so many of our manufacturing lines were literally shut down because there was no work to be completed. And so we went around, and through the leadership of our management team, we redeployed people to work on continuous improvement projects throughout the organization until that business demand came back.
Yeah, those are great stories around it. And then so really zeroing in on what it means to you. So when you think of your individual experience, what does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, it means being all in together, having a long-term focus. In other words, not making decisions that just impact today and tomorrow, but rather impact 1, 3, 5 years out. And so, you know, I've been thinking about this, knowing that this conversation was coming up. And for me, it's about two concepts, really. Collegial, meaning shared responsibilities. And on the flip side of that is shared rewards. And so if you think about ownership as a two-sided coin, on the one hand, it's, you know, what we're willing to, you know, contribute and provide. And on the other side of that coin is what the organization is willing to give back in terms of shared rewards.
So let's go a little farther into the shared rewards. You had shared that you're retiring, which mm-hmm. is incredible. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You've also shared with me that the ESOP influenced the timing of your retirement. So what we'd love to do is if you can share a little bit more about how the ESOP has influenced what your choices ahead as you wrap up your career, and then we'll come back to some of the culture sort of daily experience. So can you share a little bit more of your personal experience with the ESOP and how it's impacted you and your family?
Yeah, so if we go back to 2001, when Dick and Barbara announced the creation of the Hypertherm Stock Ownership Plan, I had only been with the organization 3 months.
Wow.
And so it was a surprise to all of us when they announced it. And employee ownership programs, stock ownership programs were, I think, fairly new back then. Mm. And for, I would say, most of us in the crowd, we were quite naive to what employee ownership, stock ownership meant. And so when Dick and Barbara made this great announcement, they had huge smiles on their faces because they knew what it meant.
Right.
But the vast majority of us didn't. And so there was a really muted response or applause to it. And so, as I recall, Dick and Barbara, you know, took a few minutes to try to explain what it all meant. And so I went home that night to my wife and said, hey, you know, Dick and Barbara had this announcement today with the company, and it's called a stock ownership program, and they're really excited about it. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we might have a few extra dollars to have in our pockets once we decide that I'm going to leave Hypertherm. So anything any money is a good thing. But needless to say, I had no idea, no concept of how it would impact our lives in the future. And now looking, you know, back, had I, you know, known what the Hypertherm Stock Ownership Program was mm-hmm. really all about, needless to say, we would have probably been doing jumping jacks and cartwheels in the auditorium that Dick and Barbara were presenting. And so to answer your question more fully, the way our stock ownership program is structured, that we will start getting disbursements in 5 years. And through the generosity of Dick and Barbara Couch, you know, the value of my stock is such where, because we've been saving through our individual retirement accounts, our 4Ks, we've had enough money now such that we can then get through the next 5 years pretty reliably and comfortably, and then have the Hypertherm Stock Ownership Program come through and provide us the funds for the rest of our retirement. So in essence, it's enabled us to retire at 59. And of course, all of the retirement accounts, the 401ks, the IRAs, they become available to each of us at 59 and a half. And so we can begin drawing on that without penalty and thus begin a really exciting next phase of our lives.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's one of the things that successful ESOPs that are mature enough that people have had the account value benefit and the combination of, you know, their choices with 401k and other investments. It's a unique experience at ESOPs across the country where folks that are not 65 are comfortable enough to retire. And I think, you know, looking at our retirees this year, I think we have a couple that are 70 who were happy to keep on working. So that brings it above a little bit. But I think our average age was 62 and a half, 63. And that's when you hear in the country that very few people are prepared to retire, even at 70, past the still the theoretical of 65, it's quite a story. So wonderful to hear your story of that at 59. If it helps for listeners, Hypotherm is celebrating its 20th year of employee ownership. And the first, I think it was first 12 years, it was the partial ownership. And then since 2013, it's been 100% employee owned. So it thankfully is much more common than it was for you when you first learned 20 years ago. And it's interesting for me getting to talk to so many people in the ESOP community. When it's new at a company, there is a sort of a shared, sounds good, I like the stories I've heard of other companies, but it takes people a while to kind of to realize that. And we see that even here with new associates coming in, just takes a while to really believe that that account is going to build and how we earn it together. So I appreciate your sharing that. And I just think it's wonderful that you're retiring at 59. So let's jump a little bit to new coworkers, because you've helped, you know, you've helped support a lot of new associates, leaders in development. When you're helping a newer coworker try to figure out this employee ownership thing, what do you talk about with them? How do you start to bring it to life, especially now from the perspective of your pending retirement?
Yeah, so when I was in leadership roles and back in the late 2000s, from like 2005 to 2010, when our business was growing virtually exponentially, we were bringing on a lot of new associates back then. And one of the messages that I tried to impart upon them was that, first of all, again, going back to that concept that ownership is a two-sided coin, and that we have to do our part. And that is, everything matters, and how we treat each other and how we utilize our resources. In other words, how do we make sure that we're good stewards of our time and our resources here in the manufacturing areas, so that, we can be the most profitable. And in return, the company is going to give us ownership or equity that later on can be quite valuable for us, in the latter stages of our career. And so, I think some of the things that I was able to leverage was other associates, manufacturing associates, machine operators, and assemblers who were in similar positions as many of these new team members that were coming on board, and, helping, to share, common stories with them to tell these new people that, this can really happen for you. Because again, as we touched on a few moments ago, it's hard to get your head around what an employee stock ownership program can be. And so, it's hard for anybody. You try to draw as many connection points as you can. Yeah. And eventually they will see it as the distributions happen each year. And then that's when the belief really starts to kick in.
Yeah, that's great insight. I appreciate that. We have folks that we hire, very promising folks coming in out of high school to join our technical training institute or become assemblers, machine operators, others. So you and I have coworkers that started at 18, and so they're 20 now and they're full participants in the program. Mm-hmm. And there is, again, shared with other ESOPs of any size, there is a curious element to the first day somebody starts their job. And I've had several new folks that have come from high school or hadn't gone to school yet, and this is their first job with full benefits, profit sharing things. Mm-hmm. And they say, this is my first real job. So we're welcoming them to their first real job. And the first thing we're talking about is their retirement. It's counterintuitive for sort of process. So it's always interesting. Yeah. So when you're talking to somebody new, let's say, you think your most recent teammate, pick a face from all the people that you've helped work with and share ownership with as they're new. Do you talk first about the shares? Do you talk first about the culture and why? What do you kind of lead with a brand new coworker?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jesse, because here at Hypotherm, our culture is really strong and very important to our success. We at Hypotherm here focus more on the collective success rather than individual success. So especially new associates who are individual contributors or even leaders and managers who may have worked at more traditional companies or organizations where shining stars, superstar type personalities get highly recognized. That necessarily isn't the case here. It's all for one for all. And so helping people understand that culture and how to work within it and how to attain consensus within a group, because what doesn't work here is a strong, almost, bull in a china closet type of approach will find immediate failure and resistance. And so trying to help people, especially those that are coming from different organizations with different cultures, helping them understand, you know, how things work here and how we think and how we approach problems and issues from more of a long-term perspective than a short impact.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm passionate about employee ownership because we have many coworkers that don't have necessarily finished college degrees. They're in jobs that aren't traditionally included in beneficial economy with pensions or shares or job quality, job security, profit sharing. I think of all, some of our truck drivers or warehouse or machine operators or assemblers. That's what I find really exciting, that those usually left out have a completely different potential to build personal wealth. But then also thinking about the job quality and that experience, and that it's almost talking to a lot of people about this for 15 years, just being fascinated by ownership culture. There is no yet any succinct, easy way to talk about what that pressure is like, what that feels like, because you're kind of always having to change it and evolve it. So it's always a lot of fun in these conversations on the Owner to Owner podcast to ask this, because it's not meant to jam you up, but it is a pretty hard question to answer. And there's never the same answer from different sized companies, different career stages. So it's fun to dig into that. So we could extend it slightly. I know you're very excited for golfing and running and skiing and these things that you're going to have time for coming up soon. If we had your family here, how would they talk about employee ownership? Sort of what would be their lens? How would they talk about it?
Yeah. So my wife, Annie, would tell you that she would find the employee ownership element to be a blessing, because we have a great relationship and we never have had the time to really spend together that we really liked. And so she is viewing this as a great opportunity for us to spend more time together, to do the things that we either never had a chance to do or more time to do the things that we really like to do with the people that we like to do them with. And so when we were thinking about this decision and thinking about it, of course, financially, you know, could we pull this off with the retirement savings we had coupled with the value of our Hypertherm stock? When it became a reality, she was flat out excited. So
that's great.
She's the one that's obviously going to be most impacted by this change. And we're just very, very lucky and blessed due to Dick and Barbara's generosity to, one, you know, how they set this whole program up, and then two, with the amount of equity that they offered us. We're just quite fortunate.
That's great. That's great. And then that's, again, it's great to hear that perspective, because when you have somebody that's beginning their career at a successful ESOP, how do you transfer it out? And so I've actually shared with some of our recent new hires what you said when you told me the wonderful surprise day you said you were retiring at 59, where you said, all we have is time, all we have is experiences, and you are lucky to be in a place. I also wanted to make sure, give credit, that you said the same thing that, I don't know, the last 100 retirees or pending retirees I've talked to, you said the same exact thing. It's always sort of a trifecta. Along the way, hammer on your 401k. Don't push it when you're setting your budget. Be conservative, make other good choices. So it's really, I think it's very interesting that, you know, that's one of the most consistent messages, is it's part of like almost living like an owner, running your home like a business with that ownership mindset, maybe not getting quite the newest of this or the newest of that. Those themes come through pretty consistently. So I actually shared with some of our recent hires that all we have is time. And as you start to build towards that, if that's something you can keep in the back of the mind, your mind, as you start really over 7 to 10 years before those accounts can start to be really significant, you start to really get what this could be if you stuck around for, like in your case, 20 years. So,
and I think that's an excellent point. If I didn't highlight it enough earlier, the point that I would emphasize here, and the point that I have been actually emphasizing to my coworkers and team members, is that I couldn't have made this move if I hadn't been putting away virtually the maximum amount I could into my phase when I first came out of college, because it was through those investments and savings that have grown over time, that coupled with the benefits of the HSOP are enabling us to do that. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been in a position to, retire at 59.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Thanks for the insight. So I want to shift this slightly to, I want to hear a little bit about your feeling of connection to our customers. You own a business. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of us, just like other ESOPs, there's really a handful that are customer facing, the face mm-hmm. of the brand. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear about your perspective over your 20 years or your connection to the customer, and then take a look at how ownership may or may not have evolved, your sense of that, your feeling of that across your 20 years. So those are the couple of things I wanted us to take a look at.
Yeah, so on the customer side, for the times that I had opportunities to interact directly with the customers, in order for us to be successful, we have to have customer satisfaction. We have to be satisfying the customer. And so listening to what the customer wants and needs in those cases is extremely important, because if you're not delivering what they want, they're going to likely pick up and walk away, no matter what price you're selling at. And so ensuring that you're delivering value to your customer is absolutely critical. So in order to do that, you got to listen to them, understand what their wants and needs are. When you're working internally, in the case of manufacturing or operations, you're obviously making a product that ultimately is going to be delivered to a customer. And so you need to set internal standards that are high and that ensure that the products and services that you're ultimately delivering are, again, meeting their expectations and effectively satisfying the implicit contract that you have with them that you're going to be, delivering upon. And then internally, we all have internal customers that we serve. And so it's a big system, interactive system, where, when your relationships internally are open, honest, and delivering value, then you can provide and produce processes and systems and products that also, deliver customer value. And so everything is all tied together and has to work succinctly in order for, a company to deliver on its core promises.
That's great. Yeah, it's important, especially, as one of the larger, I think we're the 50th biggest 100% employee-owned company in the country. So we're on the larger side. Most ESOPs, I think, are 210, 250 mm-hmm. people. So for a lot of folks coming in, it's learning and relearning broad shared decision-making, because that can be kind of a culture shock. It can mm-hmm. be a good thing, but it can also be a culture shock. So that's interesting, where if you can keep your focus on the customer, whether you're talking to them or not, but always having them in mind, I think you conveyed that really nicely. So looking back at your 20 years, mm-hmm. how has the ownership experience, has it stayed the same? Has it changed? Can you share some insight?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, back in 2001, I don't think any of us who were in that room that day had any real accurate understanding of what the impact would be for us financially, for those of us that remained here for many years. And it came to light more, I would say, in year three or year five, mm-hmm. when you started to look at the amount of your employee stock ownership program value. And when you started to see the number of shares increase and, of course, the stock price increase, thus the total value increase quite substantially, in a relatively short period of time, that brought the belief that, yeah, this thing is definitely worthwhile. And much, much more than I ever anticipated back in 2001 when Dick and Barbara made that announcement. And so once you start seeing the numbers go up and your belief starts to rise, your commitment level, starts to increase even more. And so that, as we talked about earlier, the people that have been around since the beginning, they were all on the same page, and now they all had the same level of belief. And so it became a challenge, if you will, to bring in these new people, and to our earlier questions, to help them understand what it could be for them and the importance for them to, be a contributing team member, so that collectively we could ultimately all gain in the rewards.
That's great. So what I want to do is take a look at foundational values. So I've been thinking a lot with talking to a lot of other ESOPs, different career stages, different size companies, where what is foundational values and what is ownership? are they necessarily the same thing? So I'm intentionally throwing another sort of challenging question at you. But I want to take advantage of your perspective over 20 years here and it being the 20 years of ownership of Hypertherm. So can you think of some things from a foundational value standpoint that you felt 20 years ago that as much as we've grown and become an international company, market leader from those more humble days, what are some of those values, foundational values that you feel are still robust and well here? So give us the perspective sort of looking back or some things that you started to feel, I guess, from your daily experience beyond just the ownership thing. Like what was good your first 3 months of Hypertherm that after the transition and then now 20 years later hasn't changed? Are there some things that you still see that are really present in our culture?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them that come to mind. First is a focus on continuous improvement. When I got here in 2001, one of the things that drew me to Hypertherm was their intense focus on continuous improvement, having a relentless approach to it where they weren't going to give up on just being satisfied with good. It had to be much better than just average. We had to attain a better level. The other thing about continuous improvement that really struck me about Hypertherm that still is today is that it's not just a manager's responsibility or an engineer's responsibility to improve a process or system, but rather, again, going back to that whole thing about shared responsibility, where even the people assigned to do the work were expected to think about how could I make the operation safer? How could I make this operation be more consistent and ensure that the quality of the process is consistently meeting our expectations? And how can I make it more efficient? How could I possibly, you know, make more parts per hour and still maintain quality and safety? So again, continuous improvement was extremely important back then, and it's still extremely important today. And then it's about, as I touched on a little earlier, it's about how we interact as an organization, and that no one's opinion is above anybody else's, and that together, collectively, we have the best ideas, and that consensus is usually the best answer and produces the best solutions. And that still is today, where teamwork along with sharing ideas is very, very important to our overall success.
That's great. Thank you for sharing those. So what I'd like to do is get you thinking about, in this moment, in this conversation, if you described ownership in three words, what words come to mind during our time? And then I'd love to hear your favorite career story related to ownership. And if you have more than one, that's always welcome as well. So three words in this moment to describe ownership by Tom Shones.
Yes. So I thought about this question because you forwarded some questions to me. And again, I go back to that concept of a two-sided coin. Word number one is collegial, which if you look up in the dictionary is short for shared responsibilities. Yeah. And the second half of that coin is shared rewards. Yeah. So when both of those pieces are in place, I think success is almost virtually guaranteed.
That's great.
Okay. And then when you go back and think about, you know, the aha moment, you know, my aha moment, and I've already shared it, was again, going back to the introduction of us to the HSOP, to the Hypertherm Stock Ownership Plan back in 2001. We were so ignorant. We were so naive to what employee stock ownership meant. And so for me, it wasn't really one moment, but it was more about the evolution of my understanding about employee ownership and what it would mean to me financially. And it's been a fantastic ride. And I really am thankful and I'm really excited about the future for the friends and coworkers that I'm leaving behind.
Yeah. So some of the things you're excited to get to also may or may not involve some of us that are still working. So what are some things as you look beyond your final day, what are you most excited about to spend your time doing?
I'm personally looking forward to spending one more time with Annie. And secondly, doing things that we enjoy doing, such as playing golf, going hiking, things that we haven't had an opportunity to do would be camping, actually fishing. and fly fishing in particular. And so these are things that are relatively low cost, no cost, that, you know, we're just excited to do. And of course, spending time with family and friends that we just haven't had a time, much of an opportunity to do.
Yeah, a wonderful gift. And yes. So as you are going to retire soon,
yes,
you've had a very successful 20 years yes. as an employee owner.
Yes.
What are some things, you shared very nicely what you're looking forward to. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you think you'll miss about working here?
Yeah, and so I've been reflecting on that quite a bit in the last several weeks. And I am going to miss the camaraderie, of course, with my team members, with my fellow coworkers. Obviously, nothing is ever perfect. In other words, there are debates that we have. There are discussions, disagreements that we have. But at the end of the day, one of the feelings that I have is that here at Hypertherm specifically is that, again, because we're all in it together, I found that I've been able to, you know, put some personality differences aside more so than I maybe have in other companies that I've worked for. And so I'm going to miss, you know, those debates, those intellectual discussions that we've had. I'm going to miss the, you know, the hum of the manufacturing area. And we've done a lot of great work collectively on our manufacturing floors, and they're operating at really high levels. And so that's fun to see for somebody like me who's, you know, operations based and who's spent the vast majority of their career in positions supporting operations. And so those are the things I'm going to miss. But largely, it's always about the people.
That's great.
It always comes back to the people.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So thinking of if we were able to have you, my advice to you is statement or two, thinking of new coworkers and, mm-hmm. and then we're going to jump to mm-hmm. mid-career yeah. coworkers. So if you're going to you had the floor, you have an auditorium full of new coworkers that want to hear from Tom Schoen's what his advice is before he retires. My advice to you is, what would you share with them? This is our newest, then we'll go to the mid-career.
Several things. First of all, put as much money into your retirement accounts, or they be 401ks or IRAs, as you can, as early as you can, and live within your means and pay your future self first. And that probably goes to virtually anybody, no matter where they're at in their career, but especially important for people, you know, just starting out, whether it's out of high school or out of college, to, again, live within your means and pay your future self first. And the other one is find work that you're passionate about and pursue it with all your might. Because when you find something that you are passionate about and you love, it goes back to the adage is that when that happens, you'll never work a day in your life. And I don't know who made that quote, but it's one of the greatest truisms that I've come to realize is that when you truly love what you do, it's never really work.
That's great. So does that advice change much? So thinking of somebody who may be mid-career, so I don't want to get into ages, because mm-hmm. let's say they've been at an ESOP for 10 years, or mm-hmm. they've been at Hypertherm, if mm-hmm. you want to make it targeted to us or more broad. They've kind of gotten the hang of this ownership thing. Mm-hmm. They're building their career.
Yeah.
You look back at yourself, you know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. what would your advice be?
Same. So if you're in a position that you're not truly excited about, that you're not, you know, completely jazzed at going to work most days, because not every day are you going to be completely jazzed. There's always aspects of our job that we may not really like, but we have to do. But if you love 80% of the work that you're doing, you're in a sweet spot. If it's something less than that, I would encourage everyone to reflect and think about what it is that they don't like. And on the flip side of that, start thinking about what it is they're missing and what it is that they really like to do. And then again, pursue opportunities, you know, that fit those desires and talents.
Great. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So I always finish the conversations with a chance to promote the company you work for. And I've talked to a lot of ESOPs. This is a first conversation with a coworker at Hypertherm who has been supportive of my partnering with Brett Kiesling from the EO Podcast Network to do this work. So I'm going to provide the same opportunity to you. What's great about working at Hypertherm? And I think we currently have, at the time of recording, I think we have 100 and one open positions. If you would like to speak directly to any potential applicants, why they should come here.
Yeah, thanks for that opportunity, Jesse. Hypertherm has treated me extremely well. And being both a leader and an individual contributor, I've seen Hypertherm and how it's followed its core principles and philosophies to everyday activities. And so if you're looking for a company that you know you'll be treated well and that you'll be treated with respect, think about Hypertherm. Also think about Hypertherm if you are interested in a company that's going to be growing. And I think our history has shown that we've been continually growing and expanding. We started out as a plasma cutting specialist, and we've since evolved other industries such as water jet cutting. And I know that the organization is looking even beyond those. And so there'll be additional opportunities in additional fields or areas. And we need people to come here, whether you're an engineer, an accountant, a sales individual, all sorts of positions that, as you mentioned, we have open. And so there's plenty of opportunities here. We're flexible in terms of being able to try different things out, as I think both of us have experienced. Mm-hmm. And so you're only limited by your interest levels and your willingness to try something new. So highly, highly, highly recommend checking Hypertherm out if you fit those descriptions.
That's great. All right, so before we close, last thoughts on ownership.
Last shots. It's extremely important today, especially where in an environment where people are moving between companies faster than they ever have. And so ownership gives people a reason to stay with the organization. And as we've learned here at Hypertherm, keeping people together for extended periods of time is an extremely valuable asset for any organization. And we didn't talk about it a lot, but back in 2008, through the great financial crisis, the organization purposely didn't lay anybody off. And that's critical. And so that's another key piece of this whole ownership thing, is that you go through some of the bad times to get to the good times. Mm. And so collectively, when you do everything in support of one another, that's what ownership is really all about. And the rewards are at the end of the road.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate the time today for the conversation. Congratulations on your pending retirement, and look forward to hearing about your skiing adventures, family time, and new learning that you'll be doing and enjoying Annie and your kids. So thanks very much for this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Really appreciated this.
Hey, listeners, I hope you enjoyed the December 2021 conversation with Tom Schoens before he retired. We have the joy today in June 2022 of a quick update from Tom from the land of retirement. So I wanted to welcome Tom back to the Owner to Owner podcast. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Jesse. Good to be back.
It's great to have you here and see your smiling face. So I just had a couple questions for you. This is a wonderful opportunity for our listeners to hear the almost retired and then the smiling retiree. So how have you been since we recorded your episode in December 2022? How is retirement going for you?
Well, thanks again, Jesse, for having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk to you again 6 months after we initially had the conversation. And I would say that things have been going quite well for myself and my family. I've had the opportunity to spend more time with my wonderful wife, as well as catch up on relationships with family and friends that I haven't had the opportunity to, and to do some things that I enjoy doing that I didn't have the opportunity to do when I, of course, was working, and to try some new things. So, for example, as you know, I'm a pretty avid golfer, so I've been able to do more of that this season or this year. But something that my wife Annie and I have always talked about doing is fly fishing. And so we took the opportunity to attend a fly fishing clinic up in Maine on a Friday afternoon. And that's something that I probably wouldn't have otherwise done under my normal working life. So we've had those opportunities. One other thing that we've done more than we've ever done before, which is played a game called pickleball. And gotten a chance to improve our skill at that, but more importantly, meet new people, develop new friendships, and keep everything moving forward.
That's wonderful. When I just still laugh when I think of how the story you shared about telling your leader that you're thinking of you're going to be done and you were moving on, and he said, you know, where are you going? And he says, you said to spend more time with my wife. So I'm sensing that that's been going all right for you, and you and Annie have been having fun since you decided to retire before the traditional retirement age. That's excellent. So now that you have 6 months under your belt as a retiree, 59 and a half, I was curious if you look back at your 20-year career at Hypertherm as an employee owner, if you look at ownership any differently now from this new lens of pickleball and fly fishing and time with Annie.
Yeah, it has evolved, Jesse, as you've kind of touched on or alluded to. So when we were first introduced to the concept of an ESOP, again, back in 2001, none of us had ever heard of the term, nor had any of us obviously knew what ESOP even meant, of course, until Dick and Barbara explained it in some detail to us. But again, in 2001, the financial implications were completely uncertain and unknown to any of us. And so it was over time that as we saw our shares accumulate and the stock prices increase over time, did we really start to collectively understand, oh, this is important for my financial and my family's financial well-being, you know, 20 years down the road or beyond, because this will be a fantastic and excellent supplement to our normal retirement planning, whether it be 401k, IRAs, or whatever. And so I think one of the key points that I would make for you and the audience is that the ownership and what we've been able to gain financially out of the ESOP is really, again, a supplement to our normal retirement planning. So we would have never been able to make this move now hadn't we, you know, invested, you know, 30, 40 years ago into our 401ks. As far as the ownership thing in terms of concept for the organization, I thought it really solidified the notion of one for all for one, where, and Dick eloquently, you know, every I think year for sure, and maybe more, even more frequently than that, you know, talked about the concept of shared rewards. And Hypertherm really epitomized, you know, that concept, both in profit sharing and through, of course, through the ESOP. And so we knew that, you know, when important decisions were made, they were made for the long-term health of the organization, which meant they were in our long-term best interest financially as associates and effectively owners of the company.
That's great. I appreciate the insight. Yeah, because I find really interesting is, you know, talking about employee ownership has some hard elements. It's not all sunshine and bunny rabbits. It's hard. We don't have the income. We're not going to buy the machine yet, even though the machine can make more parts, and having those conversations. So I appreciate your willingness to touch on that. So as you are clearly enjoying yourself in retirement and benefiting from the very consistent advice from retiring employee owners at Hypertherm and other companies, certainly those that have retired before the current traditional age of 65, of hammer on your 401k. Mm-hmm. Don't buy all the house that the bank will give you the money for. Mm-hmm. You know, live simply, take the long view. It'd be fun to wrap up our exchange with you speaking directly to folks at the very beginning of their ownership journey. What advice or thoughts do you want to leave our listeners with for those, the many that are joining the ranks of ownership and just starting to receive their shares?
I would say there's a couple. First of all, if you're fortunate enough and you're listening to this podcast, and if you're fortunate enough to work for an organization with an ESOP, consider yourself lucky, because almost by nature, your organization is inherently looking at the long term, which is a good thing for you and the rest of the employees or the associates of your company. There's many companies out there today, Jesse, and we've heard of them. We have friends that have worked at them who are very short-term focused, and they're looking for a quick turnaround or looking for a quick profit. They're not looking at the long term. So again, if you're listening to this podcast and you're working for a company with an ESOP, know that inherently they probably have a long-term focus, and they certainly have your best interests in mind, because they're looking to share the equity of the company with you, which goes to say a lot for the leadership of such a company. Again, in terms of, you know, people who are in mid-career and those considering retiring, kind of the same message. Obviously, if you've been with an organization with an ESOP for a considerable amount of time, you've probably seen your share count grow. You most likely have seen the value of your shares increase. And so you've already started to get a pretty good understanding of what ownership means from a financial side. And to go back, and the second piece of that is that if you really enjoy working together collaboratively with not only other associates, but really friends, right? So when you go to work every day and you really like the work that you do and you like the work, the people that you work with, you're effectively, many of them are becoming your friends. And so to know that you're all sharing in the common good and success of the organization, you know, should give you some satisfaction and delight. So take solace in that, but also plan well. Again, continue to support your other retirement accounts, your IRAs, your 401ks, as much as possible. And then use the rewards of your ownership program to supplement those when the time comes.
That's great. That's great. Advice from somebody who has taken the leap, planned a long time, and thankfully made a lot of friends along the way. So again, special thanks to Tommy Schoens for coming back for the follow-up after retirement, and his big warm grin that we're seeing here with enjoying the having more time with Annie and his kids and the life beyond work. So again, Jesse Tyler with the Owner to Owner podcast for the EO Podcast Network. We appreciate the listeners and anything that everyone can do to amplify and celebrate employee ownership and the opportunity. Thanks again, Tom. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jesse. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.